This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
This morning on The Grill, I am talking to Tiong Teck Lian, the Managing Director of the Logistics and Delivery Company, GDX Berhad. Mr. Tiong Teck Lian, thank you for talking to me. Now, we know you've done well at the company these past few months. Deliveries have skyrocketed thanks to the pandemic. But now you have a name change and the company now is now simply known as GDX to signify the new growth phase. So let's start with a few of your planned investments and new ideas. Now, one of the things that you're doing is to start from the, well, to build out from your core business and last mile delivery into the warehousing services. What is the thinking behind that?
Thank you for having me, Fan. First of all, for us, I think this is what the customers want. One of the things that customers want, they want to focus on their marketing and a lot of things like fulfillment, inventory control, even for those collections, they call it COD, collect at the cash and pay back to them. Insurance service for some of the package, they will leave it to us. So it's basically an end-to-end solution. That's why our warehousing business are expanding. We have 240,000 square feet in Mapletree 2 years back, and now it's almost full. We are now looking for additional space again.
Okay, so how will that take? Are you going to be buying? Are you going to be renting? Are you going to be... What is the idea there?
For the present moment, we want to go a little bit asset light. We leave our cash for other investments into other areas like digital, also possible potential acquisitions and all that. So right now, we actually quite a longer term lease.
Okay. The other interesting thing as well, Teck Lian, that you're doing is to move into basically the financial services sector. You talk about cross-border remittance. You talk about financing business for customers. These are financial sector related. What is the extent of your plans there?
Actually, we have been doing a lot of the cash on delivery collection. That is actually a part of handling services, including cash, which is part of the financial service one. The other thing is GDX is very people-oriented business. So I think with the incoming of our new chairman, he would like to actually us to actually expand on this area. One of the things is that we have quite a few thousand employees. So sometimes how are we going to give out a sort of help to such people on the ground? Yeah, internally. So we are looking at some possible startup with converting our existing help to those in need, maybe to more like a micro financing in future, so that it can be scaled out faster. So those are some of the things that we have in mind, how to actually put in some CSR as well, as also to serve the community businesses our own community or in different countries that we operate.
So these are not necessarily relevant to the business. They're more in terms of employee assistance. Is that right? Or will it be a new business division?
No, I think sometimes everything is jumbled up together now. Your employees, if they are not happy, if they are actually brought down with something, it will affect your business as well. So our new corporate qualities, we sum it out to 4P1S. The first P is the people. Second is the process, platform, and the third is the product. So that concept is we have to look at. So the people part we have to really focus more. So in fact, as I say, the business is all covered. Nowadays it's all about business, right? Actually it's all down to the people. E-commerce actually flourishes because of people buying direct. So many things are converging. So we just have to ensure that we actually create a platform for people to do commerce, for people to have sort of easy access to even finance and things like that. That will be our model.
Yeah, so the other thing that you also want to do is to move into basically potentially creating an industrial REIT in future. Obviously, you've got the land, you've got warehouses. So, I mean, talk about this firstly, but then a lot of the plans that you've talked about, whether it's financial services or whether it's in a REIT or whether it's in basically warehousing, these are very, in a way, expansionary from your existing last mile delivery and logistics business. Are you stretching yourselves too far as well?
In a way that when we actually remodel our business, we have to put in all those boundaries that we think that we can do. To actually go into certain area is all about timing. For me, actually, most important thing, we have to actually invest in the areas that will produce us cash flow so that our cash flow position will even be healthier. So to me, it's all about getting our company to move together with our people, to move together with our platforms that we have built. I think it's not really too sad that if you compare with some of the companies that in the world today, they can scale out 1,000 times faster. So in that last year, we actually asked ourselves a lot of questions. Have we been scaling fast enough? Obviously, the answer is no. That's why we remodel. And we look at the people, how are we going to move in the sense that faster to meet the needs of the market. And that's why the 4P1S all came out at the same time. Yeah, so that we can fulfill what the stakeholders want and then what the market wants.
Okay, so right now, I think at the end of December last year, you had three very clear reportable segments, and by far and away the biggest reportable segment by way of contribution is express delivery, right? I think that's at least 95 to 98% of the business overall. With these new plans in the pipeline, in say 3 years' time, what does the revenue profile look like, Dignan? From what kind of businesses?
Actually, one of the things is that the group also has to relook at our income stream. Right now, like you rightly pointing out, the last mile actually contributed 95% of the revenue to the group. But then the thing is, if the concentration is all only on the last mile, it's actually not that healthy at all. So we would like to actually expand many different good revenue streams coming to the group so that it can be more balanced and we will actually provide a better opportunity for more talent to come in. Because let's say, for example, last year, we start on the digitization. So we can actually hire a lot of these system analysts, programmers, engineers, and all that to expand the group. So if you talk about last mile, the requirements are for fast job is lesser. So I think one of the main contribution for our group and during that expansion, how we able to bring in much needed talent so that we can also in a way help to actually give employment to those jobs that actually pay well.
Yeah, so the nature of your business basically is very conducive to technology infusions, right? Because obviously there's a lot of tracking, there's a lot of monitoring, there's a lot of inventory management. But that's easy to say on a superficial high-level basis. But when it comes down to in terms of technology infusion, how will you do it? Because I think that you started doing it via your acquisition of WebBytes, and then now you want to go into technology solutions. What is the thinking and the strategy behind the digitalization of GDEX?
Actually, we start as a very sort of traditional type of premise-based technology system that we have to serve our customers, which are mostly like banks, insurance, all that. But today, the market, when you talk about e-commerce, and also if we look at our people, if we want to push their equipment to mobile, then on-premise is not good. So we have to have a cloud base. So our acquisition on WebMike basically is a good starting for us because WebMike is basically a cloud-based service provider. Their point of sale is all on cloud using this Azure, Microsoft. Basically, with that, we can actually start to build another different dimension to our tech based on the sort of a cloud space and all that. So the expansion of today's newer business is all towards cloud. Already. So for me, then our company basically, we have a hybrid model. One, that we can still support those systems that need our server to be on phone, and those that agree with much faster to meet public solution. So that is how we're going to pursue our business, and more focusing now on the cloud.
Okay, so that means you will do a mixture of working with third-party providers as well as building out your own platforms. In terms of the rollout plan, which is the most immediate priorities when it comes to your digitalization?
Actually, we are now working on a few platforms. For example, we have a huge amount of fleet, you know, that is in operation. So fleet management that uses a more flexible app will be very important to us, because we will not be operating only in Malaysia but to the region. So it's actually much scalable and much cost efficient as well. So there are many more to come. But the idea is to make our operations much seamless, and also we can actually integrate with some of the businesses seamlessly. One of the projects that we did actually just tie up with a couple of weeks ago, is this we are actually doing a partnership together with Astro Pharma and also DocSuper. So this is a very easy of basically people getting the prescription, having the situation that people would not want to actually go out, they can easily get prescription via DocSuper, and at the same time get the medication to this pharmaceutical, of course, okay. Get to the deliver. So okay. These are the type of new solutions that is becoming more and more important in the market for different industries.
I'm talking this morning to Tung Teck Lian, the Managing Director and Controlling Shareholder of the logistics and delivery company GDX Berhad. We'll talk about this and the fleet management as well as other regional business operations after this. Teck Lian, BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
This morning on The Grill, I'm talking to Tung Teck Lian, the Managing Director and Controlling Owner of the logistics and delivery firm GDX Berhad. Now, we know that in terms of the Malaysia-specific business, you've got about 1,300 vehicles in Malaysia, right? Obviously, there's a lot of vehicles that you need to manage to deliver all the goods and parcels that come through your system on a daily basis. How are you managing the costs of, for example, fuel, which has been rising the last few weeks, I think, Len?
Exactly. This is why the reason of a better and more efficient vehicle apps or the fleet management system is that because we are the user, seems like we definitely need to have our own, because to cater for better efficiency. Given that fuel is one of the very important costs to the operation. Yeah.
Well, as a percentage of business, how much of that is going to fuel costs? And I think more importantly, because these vehicles will be a mainstay of your business for a long, long time, are you putting any investment into new technologies, for example, in delivery drones or even to EV trucks or lorries?
I think the EV part, I think definitely will come a couple of years. The drones, at the present moment, we have done a sort of test together with Yamato last year, a year before the MCO. Basically, one of the biggest hurdles is the commercial part. Just as you know, the drone is very expensive to operate. So commercial-wise, it still doesn't make too much sense at this point. Yeah.
In terms of fuel costs as a percentage of overall OPEX, right, we now know that oil is about $61 a barrel and probably will be inching higher upwards as the year goes by. How many percent of overall cost does fuel account for right now, Teck Lian?
I think the fuel is about 10-20% of the overall cost. Yeah, so some of the bigger costs is basically coal loaders or air freight costs to East Malaysia, where the cost is basically wire with the freighters and some of the response to overseas as well.
Okay. Now, one of the big things, the most important things when it comes to delivery businesses like yourselves is basically customer service, right? Those would be one of the main differentiators between yourselves and your competitors. In terms of quicker deliveries, in terms of tracking technology, right? And in terms of customer segmentation, you've got a whole bunch of B2C customers who are buying stuff from Lazada. Then you've also got the B2B, the business delivery ones. What are you doing in terms of customer service? And I think more importantly, tracking technology on that front.
Yeah, some of our customer service, we actually bring in the IVR so that we don't need so many people to actually answer calls. And because some of these things can be actually put over by the AI. So we are looking at ways and means to be able to scale up our operation. We have to look at how to deploy some of the technology that's around to help us. But at the same time, I think for the customer service, the most important thing is you a good delivery. So if there is a good delivery, this one will not actually need to complain. The most important thing right now is the quality of the service. This will lead to better customer experience.
Yeah, in terms of your business profile, I mean, although I know you've got outposts in Indonesia and Vietnam, but overwhelmingly, the majority of your business is in Malaysia. You've got about 4,300 staff, mainly Malaysian. You handle over 200,000 pieces of parcels per day. You've got four regional hubs, one main hub, 99 branches, a lot of Malaysia-centric businesses. Does that concern you in terms of being overly concentrated in one country, especially given the fact that the policy may not be as clear as you would like or business would like? And of course, the government is also potentially a transient one, Tik Lian.
Yeah, but we actually start as a Malaysian company. We only start the expansion to the region 4 years back. So our expansion this strategy is actually no doubt we are actually aggressive, but it's we want to put big bets on the acquisition. For example, when we acquire SAP Express in Indonesia, we only put in 10 million ringgit. We acquire one of the smallest companies in Indonesia and then grow with them. 2 years ago, they got it listed in Indonesia, and this company is growing by leaps and bounds. So for Nexco of Vietnam, again, when we acquired the company, it's not a very large company. We only put in about 10 or million ringgit for 50%. And our strategy is how to grow that business like what we have done in Malaysia. So it's like all this is like we are putting in a new seed so that this seed can grow in the bigger tree. We do not want to actually, for example, acquire a company that costs 500 million, you know. And take too much risk on that. If that is the case, then the turnover will immediately maybe even bigger than Malaysia here. But that is not what we want to plan. We want to make sure that we can sort of continue with the growth, but not taking too much risk at the same time.
I'm talking today to Tiong Tek Lian, the Managing Director and Controlling Owner of the Logistics and Delivery firm GDX Berhad. Now, the Indonesian business, as you talked about, PT Sub Express TBK, listed in Indonesia a couple of years ago. You own slightly less of the company. And as you say, you only invested about 10 million ringgit in it. But the experience of other Malaysian conglomerates that have gone there, including those that belong to Ananda Krishnan or the GLCs at Telekom Malaysia and Astro as well, they've had differing results and performances, most of them disappointing. Indonesia's are not an easy place to do business, right, Tik Lian? What has worked for you and what has not worked for you over there?
Actually, at Indonesia, one of the things is that we are not allowed to have a controlling stake on the last mile business. So that's why we actually didn't actually control the management to run the business. So we will keep it that way. And then most important thing is that we work with the owner closely to ensure that the company is staying healthy, and we are not really aggressive in pointing out that we must control everything. But I think having a win-win situation and having a certain respect to how they are given certain free hand to run the business as well is equally important in this case. So I think for us, we'll continue that way as we go to invest in all the regional countries with our experience, and hopefully additional experience will make us better. But still, we actually definitely face a lot of issues when we first invest.
Well, does the lack of a management control and the laws of those preclude you from investing anymore in Indonesia?
We have now set up 100% own subsidiary there. We call it PD Gede. And this PD Gede, we got some sort of intelligence in Indonesia to look for more opportunities. So there are certain segments of the business or any other business that suit our appetite. We may have a controlling, so we won't know. So we are now actually doing a lot of R&D on the regional countries on business opportunities, including Vietnam and all that for the opportunities. I think that is why we are now actually sizing out our development and the R&D group to ensure that the sort of growth in the future on the healthy path.
Okay, well, Vietnam is another overseas market for you. I think you own about half of Noi Bai Express in trading. It's a smaller business. It's about $16 million, profit of about $500,000. It's not big. Well, that was from a couple of years ago. What's worked again for you in Vietnam, and what's not worked, Thinh Lien?
I think the Vietnamese team is very young. I mean, the owner is about 40 years old, and basically the management is all actually below 40. So they are very excited when we came in. They want to actually see how we, for example, in Malaysia, we actually came out from nothing to become what we are today. They also want to do the same. So I think that is, to me, is the reason why we invest in macro food. And we believe that in the couple of years' time, hopefully with their ambition and their drive to want to move the company to a greater height, together with our team, hopefully that company can be also listed in the Vietnam Stock Exchange. So because I think for this part of business, one of the important things that we were thinking is that the locals there must be given the opportunity to own part of the shares in the company so that it will look like it is a really very localized business.
Okay. Okay. So, I mean, very, very quickly, because we're running out of time, I think, Len. Over the last 21 years, you have a CAGR, compounded growth of about 21.5%, 22%. Now, with all that, you've been able to reach your 2.2 billion ringgit in market value, give or take. With these new plans in place and these new initiatives, what's the growth, the CAGR curve like for the next, say, 3 to 5 years? Can you match that 21.6% growth?
Yeah, the thing is the whole remodeling of the business. We actually hope that it will beat the 21.4%. Because we didn't think too much over the last 4 years. In fact, thinking that we are lucky to survive the competition by the startups and all that. But the thing is that for us now, it's how to beat the figure over the last 21 years is one of our ambitions as well.
Okay, well, good luck with the business plan. I was talking to Tiong Teck Lian, the Managing Director and Controlling Owner of the logistics and delivery firm GDX Berhad, BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U Mobile, unleashing unlimited potential every day.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.